working. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like we'll help you get your Z's, true. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Short, dark, and handsome, bust a nut inside your eye to show.
As we do this.
All right, welcome back. We are back with another episode of Scenario. I was trying to figure out what time I check in for my cotton picking session. You know, me and Javon tried to prank the Trump local headquarters.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was funny, though, but it's not long enough to make it a full segment. We called him and said, hey, what time do we... We was on three-way, like, hey, we're on... this is Javon, this is Daryl. We would like to know what time we check in. And they were like... what? For check-in? I mean... Javon's like, hold on. I mean, I'm 6'3". Like, I'm like 230 pounds. Like, I mean, I don't really want to be in the field. That's why I'm like trying to check in early to like make sure, like, can I be like a blacksmith? Like, I need a driver. Like, they were like, what? And I was like, I make tea well. And I was like, I make tea well. Like, you know, and they were like, well, like, I mean, you know, for the new, you know, I don't want to be picking cotton. And the lady just hung up on me.
I want to get a job up front before.
Yeah, I want to check in early. What time do we check in for the new slavery initiative, or maybe indentured servant, or what do they call them in that book, or wherever it's talking about, they changed it in the history books in Texas to what it's like. It was like something servant, like they tried to change the word slave to like something servant, not indentured servant. It was something like.
They tried to make it nice.
Fuck you. Slave is a slave. I forgot what it was. It was something like, I listened to them here to tell us, man. It was something like that. But, yeah, Trump is the president now. So, we're going to talk about this whole election. Everything going, what happened, what's going forward, all that good stuff.
Trump, where do we start? I mean, how do you start this thing? I sat on Tuesday night with a reasonable amount of optimism.
No. I had no optimism. I literally was sitting there laughing. My wife was literally mad at me and made me, like punched me. Because I was, every state, though, that was going to Trump, I just kept laughing. It was like a bad laugh. Like, like I've never been in, like, a car accident or something bad happened. And you, the only thing to do, not to cry, like, to laugh. Like, this is just funny as fuck.
I was here tired as hell because I get up to the radio at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I was, like, so essentially I was awake for, like, 22 hours watching that thing all the way through. And I was like, well, all right. And I started doing the math. We were sitting there, and I said, okay. Okay. Look at how many different ways he can win this thing now. Either he can win a bunch of states, or he can just win two or three. I said that. This is at 2 o'clock, just like midnight. I'm like, man, Pennsylvania is not going well right
now. Yeah, this is not looking good at all.
I said, Pennsylvania is not looking good. And sure enough,
Pennsylvania,
he could have won that thing a whole lot of different ways. 290 electoral votes to 228.
Look, he blew her out.
Man, I mean, he destroyed her. I mean, this is one of the...
And somehow, Hillary got Arizona randomly.
Yeah, I know, right?
She wasn't even supposed to get that. That was like extra points when you put in your full your scrubs.
That's like that's like scoring like 30 points when you're already down by like 60, and it's like I'm about to have a big quarter. Like, well, you're gonna lose
by 30 still. What.
Yeah,
Arizona's just throwaway. Like, damn near was like that was weird. Arizona has never been fucking blue.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Wait a minute. No, she lost the electoral vote there. She won the electoral vote in New Mexico.
That's what it was.
Colorado. She lost Arizona.
She lost Arizona?
Yeah, she won...
She only won like 8 states.
Yeah, she won the Northeast. I mean, she won everything in the Northeast.
Except for New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. New Hampshire, she was divided up on, and Maine was kind of purple. But she won Colorado, California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, Minnesota, Virginia... And, yeah, that's about it. Then she won the Northeast, you know, with the exception of New Hampshire and Maine. Other than that, she got wiped up.
Dude, I mean, she was losing states that don't even go red.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know.
Iowa ain't been red since, like, 1980.
Yeah.
That's when
yeah. Well, so why did this happen? Why do you think that this happened?
I think the Democratic Party fucked up. They basically, I should have sent you the email from your frat brother, Don Calloway, sent out a thing. just breaking down everything from DC perspective, being in Capitol Hill order. But what I was reading in research is basically Bernie, when he jumped into the race, it was basically like a thing of like, we pushing it, like it's gonna be Hillary. Bernie just was like, fuck y'all, I'm gonna jump in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, that's what it fucked up. They just was like, it was the whole kind of like gentleman's handshake was that she was gonna just kind of, basically damn like it was the president.
We were prepackaging it.
Yeah. And Bernie jumped in and was like, yo, no, man, we need to have some real. And they did
Bernie jumped in because he was like, this ain't gonna work. He was like, this is not gonna do it.
Yeah, you can't, a person can't be the nominee and wasn't the president already. Like, you can't, like, just make it. That's what they tried to do.
Right. Like, hey, we're gonna get behind Obama. Like, nobody really ran against Obama in 2009.
Right. Right. Because he was already the president. Right. But they did that, they tried to do Hillary the same way, like, where she was already president.
I really would have liked to save this. I'm scared I'll forget about it later on. But we're going to have to come all the way back to the front here for that. Do the Republicans make Trump be the presumptive nominee in 2020?
Nope.
I think we're about to see a clusterfuck on historic levels.
Oh, this is actually going to be the funnest time of politics ever.
As long as we don't actually have walls built up around
right. Without the crazy shit. But he already drew that back. He already said I'm not doing that no more. The four things he said he's going to do, he said he's not doing them no more.
We're going to go through his 100-day initiative here.
But it's not going to happen, though. He already said, oh, well, I want to keep the Affordable Care Act. Just tweak it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a wall. I just want to make sure that the border is secure.
Yeah.
Like, all the shit you was really, like, let's build this fucking
wall. I'm more worried about other things than that. The representative things, those things domestically.
You talking about, like, fucking Putin, though, like.
I have a lot of issues with a lot of things he's talking about doing here.
Was Putin? Putin said he was happy he won. Was he happy he won like a thing where like the bad team beats a team you thought you couldn't beat in the playoffs, and then you're like happy because you get to play the team that you match up better with?
Yeah. So,
or is it like, oh, well, I think it's better
like
for me.
It's like kind of like avoiding the 8th seed and not having to play the Cavs, but you get to play the 2 seed in the first round anyway. Like, oh shit, I don't have to play LeBron. Awesome.
Cool.
You
know, I'm gonna be the 7th seed. I might have a chance to actually go pretty far in the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, I got a chance now at least. That's Putin. That's how I feel like he's looking at it.
That's
like,
why he's like, oh yeah, it's great.
Obama was his LeBron, and now he's like, oh, I get to play the Raptors or the Hawks. Like, cool, that works. And I know a few guys on the team, so you know.
And we all good. But I think the Democratic Party did not, and it was that a lot of that old Democratic guard in there. They let a lot of that old kind of things, and which is going to be good for the Democratic Party because everything's got to change now because the Bernie, Elizabeth Warren types. Those are the ones that are really that people need to push and like build the new party going future to like
gotcha
working poor people though, you know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of you can't be a Democrat and be like kind of aristocratic, man. It's kind of hard, man. Like to really say you about the people, but like you making $1 million per like speaking engagement type shit, you know? And like
I see, here's the thing. I think that all politicians kind of are the same.
Yeah.
I think that they all kind of benefit from the same game. I mean, and that's fine. I have no issue with that. That's what you're involved in. I have no real feeling about the wholesome morality of any party. Neither one of them have it. So it's okay, and that's fine. it's a Game of Thrones, really. It's a big power play that so many people and so many tiers of people are in, and people, businesses, and individuals, and all these interest groups and all these things are propping up these individual people who then, in turn with each other, strike all of these deals, and then it all funnels up through the White House, and then it's all spread throughout the country. You know, so, you know, you can never, there's no such thing as clean politics. Yeah. So I don't look at the Democratic Party as being good or the Republican Party as being bad. I look at them both as different branches on the same tree. You know, so it's just all depends on what your slant is. Now, there are people that associate with those parties or representative levels that are trash. You know, people that are like, all I care about is gun rights because I want to keep my guns. You shouldn't be able to have abortions, and I'm a racist. Okay, so there are those people that are red. Those are the lazy red, as I like to call them. They're just representative Republicans. Don't know anything about Republican politics or what really goes into what they're trying to do.
This party supports that.
They're not fiscally conservative because they don't have any damn money anyway. They're conservative because they don't have any money and they live in the middle of fucking
West Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter what people do on fiscal matters for you. But, you know, but then on the other side of the coin, there's the Democrats, the people that feel that I think that the downfall of the Democratic Party has been that we feel like we have to fight this other party as opposed to just go about business for ourselves. you know, and people that go against it and say, I don't like those people that just want, that I don't think you should have guns. I think you should be able to have abortions if you want to. And I think that we need to have more things set up for our money to be filtered through. Okay, so you're a Democrat then. And that's why you're a Democrat. Plus, oh, you're black or you're a minority or something like that. So it all breaks down into racial politics as opposed to actual issue politics.
Because black people in general would be actually Republican. If
hell yeah.
I don't know how the Republican Party
is. We're Republican as hell with our money in our own community. Everybody trying to get their own and keep it.
It's about capitalism. Listen to rap. It's about getting that paper. Being better than the next man. We're homophobic. We're like everything. I don't know how the Republican Party is not like can't get past. Like they have a whole swath of people.
The world needs to start being the United States needs to start being real and putting in whites, blacks, Hispanics, Latinos voting instead of this state went to the Republicans. This state went to the Democrats. Black people turned out and voted here. They took Nebraska. White people turned out. They took New Hampshire because there ain't no black people up there.
So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So I mean, I think the Republican Party is going to be interesting going forward. They got to, and now I guess we can move forward. Like, what do can people do to like prevent Trump from doing anything crazy? But do you think Trump really even thought he was going to win? That's my next question.
I think he got into it because he's ran for president like the last three times to a certain extent. But I think that he got serious about getting involved in it. And then at some point, he started to see how the Democratic Party was. I think that he started realizing he could win it when he saw that how hard Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton were going after each other and how divided the Democratic Party was.
Because she barely beat Bernie, basically, really.
And you already had a divided Democratic Party because of a black president, you know, so you already had that issue in there, too. So, you know, and don't ever think that all these Democrats are behind Obama just because he was the Democratic president of the United States.
No!
Hell no, he's still a black man. Yeah, they got like, a problem with that.
You know, people are like,
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you got that whole thing. So he started being able to lay the tracks to be successful then. And that's when he started getting more and more sensational and saying more and more things that just got people's attention. Hell, man, for most of his time in office, most of his time around, he's been an independent that lent Democrat.
Yeah.
You know,
and he donated more money to Democrats than Republicans.
Yeah. All them old pictures of him hanging out with the Clintons and all that stuff in the early 90s, that wasn't happenstance. That wasn't just happening.
That wasn't you at the take off club.
Donald Trump ain't a Republican. Let's just get that straight.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. The Republicans do not have the executive wing of the White House. Donald Trump has it. Donald Trump is in business for
himself. He's an independent.
Yes, he is the ultimate independent.
About himself.
Like, he is in it with himself. Not even his aides and advisors and wife and all of that. Donald Trump is in that White House by himself.
Look, this dude's been married three times. He got three baby mamas, five kids.
Oh, that's right. True black people problems to the White House. After 8 years of having a brother in there, he showed up with more black people back
than the black man did. Than the black man did.
Barack Obama had one wife, two kids. He's been a great dad. He always been there.
They went to Harvard, Yale.
He smoked weed.
Yeah,
like Barack Obama is black as it gets, but he don't have all them black people problems, stereotypical black people problems. Not to say, and I'm not gonna go down that same path where people was like Bill Clinton our first black president, which is some bullshit. That's huge bullshit.
And that only comes from him being Arsenio Hall.
That's degrading as hell to black people to call him that. But that Arsenio Hall thing.
Anyway. Yeah, that's what it did with the Clinton. I honestly believe that's how he won an election.
Yeah, whatever it was, it did it. You know, Bill Clinton stood in for that old guard of the Democratic Party.
The old school way Democrats do. Yeah.
He was the last true Democratic old guard president. You know.
Well, Hillary would have been another version of Hillary.
She would have been a chick, though. You know.
But I mean, I think Hillary's the last of that regime. Period. Like,
well,
you won't see that type of Democrat.
There can't
period.
Be anything else. Yeah.
You won't see
the Democratic
like
Party
that.
Will never look the way it did again. No. It can't, and it can't afford to go to market the way that it did before either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's unlimited places now where they got to reorganize the troops and go after this a whole different way.
So I wonder if I can see him getting impeached or leaving in 2 years. Or like, you know,
he's gonna be walking away?
Just walking away, man.
Man, he's gonna be making too much money for himself to walk away.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
But no, my thing is that the fact that how much he's gonna have to actually do.
Dog, do you know how many
Meetings? You gotta get the defense meeting, then you gotta have to go to the agriculture meeting,
Do you know how many tax cuts and corporate tax breaks he's about to make to benefit his particular
interest?
Yeah,
he's going down like 15% for small businesses, so I know it's gonna be crazy for corporations.
He's about to get paid. He's in office right now to get he is successfully manipulated the system enough that he can serve his own interests with less restriction than anybody else in the history of the
world. Because all he's going to do is give it to his son. They said he's going to put all the business in his son's name.
Yeah, like Stan Kroenke did.
Yeah, but they ain't shit, though. My thing is, why is nobody like, yo, you can't do... If you're really going to sell, you have to sell.
You got
to
put it on the market so that people can go after it. It's his business, though. Private business, private enterprise. You can protect it that way. You know, but he doesn't really have to technically relinquish anything, though. Because he can have outside business interests.
I thought they were saying he can't.
No, because think about it. All presidents, most presidents have had outside business interests and things like that that have still done it all the way from the very beginning of time. I mean, yeah. You know, a lot of presidents were sharecroppers and stuff like that. He doesn't have to get rid of his businesses. But I mean, he just, how you manage those businesses while you're managing a country, you know, he's going to have to delegate some things off. But he doesn't have to change anything. But he's in office and he's going to be able to manipulate the system towards himself like nobody else ever has in history. Now, to that respect, salute. I respect you for going after it and being the ultimate hustler businessman of all time. Whether you think he's a good businessman or not is inconsequential to the fact that he has manipulated both politics and industry harder than anybody in the history of this country.
I agree.
Not even close.
Does he do Apprentice still?
No.
No, straight up.
Tune in to NBC on Sunday night to see the president of the United States.
And for your regular job, for your job as Attorney General.
Jesus Christ. Right, he's going to an Apprentice for a congressman. Instead of selecting a Supreme Court justice, he's going to have a reality show. And somebody like Omarosa going to win the Supreme Court seat.
Don't be surprised if you see some shit like that.
Bro.
Look.
Everything is in play. Everything is in play.
Like, we laugh about it now, but we going to be sitting here 2 years from now like, God damn, we talked about it on the podcast.
Dude from Real World is in the Supreme Court now. Forever.
Forever.
Like, what the hell happened? Donald Trump.
Man, I'm going to sign up for this Supreme Court.
I might get on The Apprentice. I'll be on Supreme Court. I'm 33. I'll be on Supreme Court for like 50 years before I die.
Dude, you be 60. You can go 50, 60 years. You can do 40 and then retire and still get your check.
I'm not living up that kind of power. I'm dying in office.
Oh, you gonna be on your deathbed still signing doing briefs?
Yeah, I'm dying in office. You can't give me a job forever. Guarantee it. I'm on the fucking Supreme Court. And you're like, oh, no, you got to give it up. Bullshit.
I'm going to die. You have to kill me in there.
I am on forever. So, I don't know. But he's got an ability to make an impact and to change things in a huge way that serve his own interests if he feels like it.
So, do you think that this election was about racism?
Oh, I think it was about everything in the American.
Everyism?
Yeah. There's nothing that got left off the table in this at all. I mean, it was about...
But I don't think it was sexism as much as people are putting it, though.
I think there's always sexism involved. I don't think it kept her.
Like, if it was Elizabeth Warren, I think she could have won, though. Like, I think that candidate was more palatable to people.
I think that the Democrat, let's back up to the Democratic Party's voters before we go into that. I think that the Democratic Party did themselves a great disservice by continuing business as usual. Like, Barack Obama kind of shook things up.
Campaign was against the campaign. Yeah, people don't remember that.
But he shook things up and kind of threw himself into the order, but he got the Kennedy rub back in 2004.
Right, when Kerry was running.
Yeah, so he got the rub and became the wonder child, and he kind of shook things up and took it for himself. So, you know, the Clintons would have run a long time ago. Would have put her out there a long time ago if it wasn't for Barack just becoming the man.
Oh, he fucked up the game, though, when he came in 08.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She thought it was we popping.
Like in 06, his buzz was like crazy in 06. And by that time, everybody was so desperate, looking for a new president, looking for a new direction in the middle of Bush's term being up almost. You know, they started to look to anybody in a way to do that. And Obama was at the right time, was the right person, and had the right policies. I mean, Barack Obama's time in office is going to age like wine.
People are going to respect it. Historians are going to be like this. He's going to go down as one of the top five presidents of all time.
He's going to definitely rise. I think the only thing that's going to keep him from being in that top five, I think he can be kind of borderline top 10-ish area. The only thing that's going to keep him from that is that he fixed a lot of problems, but what his legacy is going to get clipped by what followed him. So he's not going to be able to put something in play that's going to last for a long time. Because it's
like Franklin Roosevelt with the New Deal and stuff like that.
That stuff stood up. That stuff stood
the test of time. Social Security and all this stuff came
Obama out. Stuff's not even going to get a stand a year after he's out of office. You know, so I mean, his legacy is going to be tough, but that could help him. He could be seen as a martyr president in a way. But you know, the thing that you look at with Obama is I think he'll certainly, right now he's ranking in about between 18 and 15 all time in early rankings of all time presidents. I think the last time they did one was about 2 years ago that they kept a study, and I think he's checking at 18, between 18 and 15 on that. The guys in that top rung, you know, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln solved the, you know,
yeah, slavery problem.
Yeah, I mean, he
Franklin Roosevelt, you know, which is, he's considered, I think he's considered the best president.
No, Lincoln's won.
Lincoln's won. Dan Bowles, it's got to be Roosevelt second then, because he did World War II, New Deal, got us out the Depression, all that shit. So it's got
sick. They've got an aggregate ranking that.
Yeah. Let's pull it up real quick. I'm interested to see.
Pull it up real quick. That the last time they did one was in 2015, okay. And that one went Lincoln, Washington, Roosevelt. Now, if you do the aggregate, they've been doing these since 1948, different news outlets. On the aggregate rankings of all time, Abraham Lincoln's number one, Franklin Roosevelt's number two, George Washington's three, Thomas Jefferson's four,
okay.
Theodore Roosevelt's five, Harry Truman is six, Woodrow Wilson is seven, Andrew really? Jackson is eight. Dwight Eisenhower is nine, and James Polk is 10. So,
Andrew Jackson.
Let's talk about Andrew Jackson. Because Andrew Jackson is going to be an important part of this show.
He is the Trump of his era.
Hey. Andrew Jackson is on the all time. I hope you don't have to clean this out. The all time motherfucker team. In the history of the United States. I mean, but the thing about him is that he did awful, horrible human atrocities,
but he expanded the U.S. a lot.
Yes, he made the American infrastructure what it is, but he did it in like the most notorious, blatant, you know, political ways possible. So it's like, I mean, in 1801, he was appointed as a colonel of the Tennessee militia, which became his political as well as military base over time. He owned hundreds of slaves on the Hermitage Plantation, and he killed a man in a duel regarding his wife's honor in 1806. But he basically won and fought the decisive battle in the War of 1812.
Right.
So, I mean, right. You know, so he did all of that, and he expanded the American infrastructure both through going to war for it and then bringing that authority to the White House. He's a piece of shit, though. He's terrible. He ignored Supreme Court mandates once he was in office.
Fuck. He would be like, I'm the fucking king.
He was awful. Jackson. He was awful. But guess what he did, though?
What?
He founded the Democratic Party as it stands now. So that's why I say don't look at what things names are. Look at what they actually stand for and how they are done, you know. So I don't know, man. But I mean, you know, Trump is he's so wild cardish and so inconsistent that I think that for me, more so than anything he said or done, is what worries me the most, is that he's so impulsive. I think that he could do things that could help people drastically just because he just feels like it, just like he could do things that hurt people
because he feels like it.
And the thing about it is the things he do that hurt people on both on a personal level. You know, they don't hurt you. They might not hurt you as much on a level of being able to financially make a way or anything like that. But he's going to offend people, he's going to offend other countries, and he's going to make it more dangerous to be an American. That's not good. That's terrible. You know, so I think that's the thing about Trump that is the biggest problem, is that you never know what's next. And that's a huge thing. But at the same time, that won him the election. He wasn't the same thing that was there. And people said, something's got to change. Now, why people think something has to change?
That's my thing, though. Obama has a higher approval rating since, I forgot who it was. He had the highest approval rating
Coolidge, I thought, in his last year.
No, I'm saying Obama has one of the highest approval ratings going out as a president ever.
Yeah.
No, since he had the highest approval rating, even more than Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah, you know why? Because Obama got people working.
Yeah.
People weren't working when he took office. You know, and through his first term in office, it was hard as hell to get a job.
Yeah.
Not the second one.
No.
You can get a job now.
Yeah.
Hell, man, I ain't got three jobs in the last 2 months. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, that's, you have a better quality of life now with Barack Obama and what he's done in office. So, but I still think that his time in office lacks that signature moment that's going to endure. And other than him, himself existing and being, that's always going to stand out, you know. But he's done so many things well.
I mean, do you think Osama bin Laden being killed? You think that's one that'll stick out?
Another thing he had to fix from before. You know, I mean, I think these are all great moments. I think they're highlight moments. I think that that's the type of thing that will definitely get him, that will definitely stand on his record all time, as well as some of the things he did for LGBT rights. I mean, I think that that's tremendous, yeah. And that's something you can't take back. You can't.
And basically all the bad prison sentences for federal, he let the most people
go federal. Yes, exactly. He eased up. He really was truly a president of the people, whether people realize it or not. He's done so many good things for people. But people look at it and say, what good has he done for business? And they say, what is the business interest? The people that are in control of the money don't care about the people. They care about their interests. So that's why you had that big push for Trump. And then on the other side of it, those are people that are actually realistically fiscally conservative Republicans. Those are people that want more for business. Then on the other side, then you've got the people that are representative Republicans, the ones I was talking about, yeah. That just want him gone. Get this nigga out of my office. Get this black man out of my White House right now, as soon as possible. So you got them voting for anybody that came.
Give me the puppy.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that Mitt Romney didn't do better, but Mitt Romney was as exciting as looking at a drip of water go down a wall. You know,
and the best part, they made Mitt Romney go far more right than he normally is, though. He wasn't even that far right.
Yeah.
The base of all the Tea Party and all them motherfuckers made him have to go to that right, and he wasn't even like that.
Right.
Massachusetts had the first Affordable Health Care Act was in his state.
Right.
While he was governor. So, yeah.
I mean, I would have loved to have seen Trump be the main candidate against Obama, though.
Oh.
That would have been great. That would have been phenomenal. Because John McCain is about as blue of a Republican as you're going to get.
Oh, you were talking about, it was damn near two Democrats running
against. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Palin shook it up.
Yeah, she shook it up. She was there to be the Trump in that scenario, basically. Yep. But she was such a joke and such a sideshow act that nobody took it seriously. Yes, they shouldn't have. But but the thing about it is that when you look at what happened on the other side, you know, he went against people that he could pretty much dominate. I mean, there hasn't been a candidate as strong as Barack Obama since Bill Clinton, maybe. You know, and they're on the same side of the fence. Yep. You know, I can't think about a Republican that really would have he would have destroyed George Bush. If he would have run in 2000, he would have destroyed.
Reagan was pretty strong, though, too, man.
Yeah.
Reagan was strong.
And that's such a different time period. It's hard to imagine Barack Obama running for president against Reagan in 1980. You know? It's just...
Reagan would have been more... I guess, politic-wise, Reagan would have been John McCain, though, now. The way the Republican Party is set up now.
Yeah.
He'd been more of a John McCain, damn near, or Romney.
Yeah, I can see that.
He wouldn't be what this Republican Party is now.
No, what the Republican Party is now is something different. It's a lot of things at once. It's not a cohesive party, and it shows that by seeing how their nomination got essentially jacked by an outsider that decided he was going
to
align.
I'm going to decide to do it.
But Donald Trump mobilized the people. He mobilized the people that had the interest, and he saw what people were interested in, and he vouched for whatever people want to change in. He vouched for it.
Is he the reverse Flash?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Obama was a Flash. He did the same thing that Obama did.
He's reverse Flash / Bizarro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
because Bizarro Obama.
Because Obama got people to come out if I was voting, I'd call you and be like, yo, you going to vote?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing was happening for Trump supporters. Yes. They were coming with two people.
Yes.
You know, like how people were when Barack got. So he is the reverse Flash and Bizarro.
Yes. Yes, but I think that Hillary winning the popular vote still shows that more people believed in.
I think people getting mad about popular vote is kind of bullshit, though.
Well, because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but not on top of the people like, well, you know, the most of the people that come. Well, yeah, okay. If you want to do the popular vote, I'm just going to campaign in California, Illinois, and New York and keep it moving if you do a popular vote.
And that's what she did.
Yeah.
She didn't go.
And that's her fault. That's,
yeah.
But I'm saying she campaigned like it, but I'm saying that's not how it is, though.
No. You can't do that. You can't simply decide I'm going to campaign on the sides of the country.
Actually, I wouldn't even campaign in fucking California, period. I'm taking that 50 piece right there. I know I'm getting that 50. I'm
going to
get New York. That's going to be another 50
piece. You got to campaign in California and New York, though, because that's where your money coming from.
Right, no, I got you. But I'm saying, whatever time I'm spending there, I'm going to cut it in half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm going to get you're not going to vote for the other side in California. I got this. That's like, I guarantee you, Trump, when he went campaigning in Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia and shit, he knew he had them pieces. That's like, he already had them pieces on the table.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Where Hillary went wrong, though, was that...
Not campaigning in Michigan and Wisconsin and shit?
Yeah, she didn't... And Iowa. She didn't work
on it. Iowa never liked this motherfucker. They voted against him when he went, when she went against Bernie and against Barack.
Yeah.
They, Iowa started him for the whole... Iowa started Barack being a viable fucking candidate. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even campaign. It's like, oh, that ain't shit, though, man. That's a little... 4-5 votes. I ain't worried about that electoral. All right.
People have to pay attention to the way that they engage with the people more than ever. I mean, he's proven that. They both proved that you have to engage with the people and you have to captivate the people. You know, there's going to be that biased masses that aren't.
And Barack made that because that's why it's the reverse flash, because Barack had a person that was charismatic that identified people like, oh man, like the whole go get a beer with somebody kind of feel.
Because he would actually do that.
Yeah.
He would go drink with people.
But Donald Trump would do that same thing with the people that he believed. He would go out with them too, though, and whatever, in Kentucky and fucking have a beer with them too. So yeah. They felt the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this guy is as far away from the everyman as you can possibly be, Donald Trump.
But somehow they identify him with him as everyman.
But he is what they see as the beacon of hope. And there's that subsect of people that think that the United States has to be run like a business. That think of him as a viable business person because he's a popular business person, and it's not the same thing.
He's being a good business owner.
We need to elect Warren Buffett or
Alan Greenspan or
Paul Allen or something like that if we want to have go get Bloomberg, see if he wants to run. You know, I mean, those are more viable businessmen than him and a bunch of other people. You have no idea who they are because all they do is just conduct business and make money, and they do it well. You know, so I mean. I don't know, but...
Do we really know how good a businessman he is, though? Because he's feeling a lot of shit.
He had a hell of a nest egg to start, and he cut as many throats as he needs to.
USFL, all the casinos. He fucked up Atlantic City.
Trump University.
That golf course in Scotland, he fucked up. Like, is he really a good businessman?
He's not.
That's what I'm saying, like...
He's a popular one.
Yeah.
He's been, like, synonymous with business in the United States since the 1980s. He's Gordon Gekko, damn near.
Gordon Gekko.
You know? So, I mean, you know, you got that whole thing, and then you're just like, he's popular. I mean, he's gotten into the White House based on popularity for being things that he's not. Is that the lesson that you learn? Don't be what you really are, be what you need to be? Maybe. Because he got into the White House that way.
Man, you can be anything as a white man, too, though. That's what it showed. If anything, that's one of the lessons I learned. You can be anything as a white man in America, boy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Black man had to have a law degree, PhD. His wife had to have a PhD, law degree. Kids got to go to the best schools for him to be fucking been president.
Bro, that's why I say, Cory Booker, good luck, man.
There's no way possible he thinks he could really be president, right? I mean, I guess, I'm talking about as a person, yes, you want to, but I'm saying he got to know, like, they ain't going to let no more black folks in this office, right?
So, do we think Obama's legacy was a one-off?
What do you mean, like, a one-off?
Do we think that him happening was a one-off? Like, if it can't happen again? Like, he's, that what he did?
I don't think it'll happen ever again. Not in our lifetime.
I'm not ruling anything out of it.
Oh, because you know what? Because fucking Donald Trump is our president. We can't rule anything out. We have a fucking puppy in 2020 as a goddamn president.
Donald Trump has literally changed the entire way that I look at reason. The whole way that I look at things reasonably in life and the way that I rationally go to approach things now that are outside of my actual touch has changed completely.
It's totally different.
Nothing is the same anymore for me. And it ain't the same kind of everything's different now, like when Obama became president. I don't look a black guy when president. Yo, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America in under 2 months. I don't have any reason to adhere to the things I used to believe anymore. Because
your whole belief structure has to change. It's like an alien coming down and saying, like, hey, there is more other worlds. You know what? I got to change up my philosophies, my religion, everything else, though. That's what Trump did, man.
Right.
And is Trump even really religious? I ain't seen him going to one goddamn church. Normally, you know, most presidents can't even go to church.
Are we sure that if he puts his finger into the holy water, it ain't going to spark up?
Maybe he knows that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he don't have a reflection.
I've never even talked, usually like that evangelical side, he didn't even have to pander to them at all.
No.
Like, he didn't.
He had him already.
This off the strength that you didn't want the black guy.
Well, he just said, he said, I don't believe in abortion. All right.
You got me?
You're with you. Donald Trump's probably conducted more abortions than anybody has ever said in the White House.
You think he only got 5 kids? There's a lot more pregnancies out there probably sitting out there on the low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, keep in mind, this dude has got a rape charge going up next month.
Bruh, this dude has literally changed the entire way you should try to understand anything in the world.
Don't try to understand.
We need to revisit gravity and how that whole thing works.
E equals MC squared ain't the same either, though.
Let's start that over, too.
Let's figure this all out.
Let's see how that goes. That's everything that we figured out in the last thousands of years.
Isaac Newton.
All of it.
We got to figure this all out.
We got to rework this, man. Nothing is the same from this point
like,
on.
Like, how do we... Like, as a person, how do you go in there and pull a lever for Trump?
You believe in all those things. You know?
Number one. No, I'm talking about just on the surface level, just... Donald fucking Trump. He's a fucking reality star. Fucking...
I can easily see how people that don't dig into the facts are easily swayed by
it. Oh, no, I get it. I mean, it's celebrity.
So when you put together popularity, party loyalty, and then honest to God, tired of the nomenclature that's in office, it looks like 290 electoral votes. That's what it looks like. You put together three very potent things right there all in one. And then a fourth thing you put together is that, I mean, he didn't have what you can consider to be a candidate that opposed him that saw the race all the way through. Well, if he was running against another Donald Trump, if you can imagine such a thing.
On the Democratic side, like, yeah. What would that be like? Would they be like a social justice? Like, would they be totally the other extreme, though? Like,
God.
I sleep in elderly homes. Like, I sleep in shelters at night with the people. That's like how much I'm with the people. Like, I only have a house. I just literally sleep in my suit at the shelter and whatever.
It'd be like Larry Rice running for president.
Damn. Shout out to Larry Rice, whose spot just got shut down.
Really?
Yeah, they shut him down this week.
Damn.
Yeah, they shut him down. He's got to vacate premises.
Why?
Because he was fucking up. He was... doing people wrong, man. Like, giving them fucked up food and all kind of shit for years.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucked with him.
Yeah.
He probably pulled that trigger, pulled that leather, too.
Oh, you know he did. But now, do you look at everybody around you as a person, especially that's living in Missouri, do you look at everybody around you and look at, like, that motherfucker voted for Trump?
I've been ignoring a lot of people. I've just been looking past a lot of people. I mean, once again, I don't villainize them.
Yeah.
I don't think that everybody that voted for Trump is necessarily a racist or... Don't do anything like that. But I mean, I question. I question their I question what their basis or their logic is in. Yeah, for sure, absolutely. But sometimes I question myself too and say, how much did I believe in Hillary as opposed to I just didn't believe in Trump?
Oh, that's 100% what it was for me. Like, you know, because I sat there and I was like, man, I wanted to vote for Jill Stein. A part of me was like, that ain't gonna make no fucking sense.
Should have voted for Gary Johnson. He showed up. Yeah. Gary Johnson got like 2% of the vote.
Hey, no. On the low, you see old boy in Utah was the one getting in everybody's ass.
Yeah.
He got 2 million votes in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
But did you hear about that robocall that this racist dude sent out about him, right?
Mm-mm.
Dog, it was a robocall. Because the dude was eating up Trump so bad in Utah, they thought he was going to win. No, I've got the independent dudes. He was just running in Utah. I don't know why he just said, I'm going to run in Utah. Or he got his name on the ballot there.
Yeah, he got his name on the Utah ballot.
So this dude, he has a robocall like, hey, this is John Wilson with the White Nationalist Organization. He says White Nationalist Organization. So he says, yeah, I'm calling about, I forgot his name, that candidate. Want to let you know that he has two mothers. And he also doesn't have a girlfriend. And like, he was like personal shit though, like, and I like to leave that with you. Thank you. Like, it was all like
personal. Evan McMullen.
They would leave personal, like, yeah, he has two mothers. What kind of kid has two mothers? And he doesn't have a girlfriend. He's not married. And he doesn't have a girlfriend. Doesn't look like he's getting married anytime soon. I'd like to appreciate you for your services.
Bro, you hating. Wow.
Paid for a robocall. This is not even affiliated with a party. He paid his own money for a robocall in Utah to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey.
Like, yo.
It's a dirty, dirty game. It's a dirty game.
So, like, how long is it before these people get upset at Trump and realize he's not doing shit for them? 2 years?
How long do people aware? When do people wake up?
Or just be like, oh, dude, we fucked up. Argue that they were. But the Republicans will never say they fucked up.
Republicans' hands are kind of tied. Because Trump can fuck them if he wants to. He's so immensely popular that if he doesn't go to bat for them or goes against them, they're not going to get reelected.
Oh, you're saying it could be a backflow on the other side where people are like, we fucking with Trump. You ain't fucking with him knowing, rolling what he doing. Then when you come up for election in 2 years for your Congress seat, it's gone. We're going to put up, damn, they're Trumpinites. Almost like a Tea Party. It's a third party within the Republican Party. It's a regular Republican Tea Party people.
It's like the Federalist Party. No, the Federalist Party's back. Yeah, it's a whole different thing. The ball game is fucking changing.
On both sides, Democrats and Republicans.
Because there's people that believe in his message and the things that he said, you know, the boldness and the brazenness of how he speaks, you know, and the things that he talks about, you know. It's incredibly how enabling and how mobilizing it has been for those cowards.
Slave is one whose power and authority is ruled over by another, and whose sphere of freedom is limited according to the wishes of a master. Your power and authority is ruled over by another, and your sphere of freedom of activity is governed by the wishes of somebody else.
Them niggas wanna see me running, they know I won't. They say misery loves company, no I don't. Ain't got no time for you to try on no Manolo Blahniks. All I got time to do is go back in time and pose with the Unabomber just so I could go back in time a second time to photobomb it. I live by a code of demonic Illuminati, Obama, Hovenomics. Hold up, hurdles in life, I hop in the turbo and roll around them. I'm Dougie Fresh in the flesh, I beatbox. Between the sheets to seek the G-spot. I'm in bed with three naked ladies holding hands. I'm in bed with three major labels, and I ain't talking about wearing clothing brands. Underground locomotive man, putting on a global show that no promoter can. I philosophize with wise words from learned lessons. In my world, mistakes turns to blessings, the hate turns to destiny. I'm saying Lord Jesus while the Lord's most gorgeous creatures take turns blessing me. I got your baby mama down on all fours. When drama coming, I'm all for it. If it ain't about the money, please let this be your last question. You players can jump if you want, but you half-stepping like Paul George. I make the yay invisible in like a day or two. That's how the players do. My nigga, it's layers to it.
First in science, first in technology, wealthiest country on earth, most powerful country on earth, is 26th in education.
So, you have all been taken, and you don't even realize that you have been dumbed to the point where you are like
this. You know, the racists and the hate mongers and things like that. And he put that over. He put that in play in such a bold way in his race that it essentially has changed.
Bold, but not over the top where it's like, we see the bullshit in it, but it's not over the top where you call somebody a nigga. It's like that.
Yeah, everything but it.
Yeah, which people assume, that's what some people get fucked up in the game with, is that assuming that if you ain't call me no nigga, it ain't racist. Like, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but like, he did the shit that they were like, oh, well, no, he didn't call me a nigga, did he? Like,
right.
But he did everything but.
Right, right. Because they don't see the lead in, and they don't see the context of how marginalization goes. You know, it's hard to understand marginalization if you're in a majority that isn't affected by it.
And how much do it really get done, though?
If it's impossible for you to get marginalized. All right, cool. How much then let's move on to that. Yeah, yeah. Let's look at
his 100-day plan.
Let's look at his 100-day plan here. So, it's also called the Donald J. Trump contract with the American voter.
So hold on. So the motherfucker made his own name a part of the country.
So let's go through this then. I'm going to read the intro and we'll go through the points here. What follows is my, Trump's, 100-day action plan to make America great again.
Dude, this sounds...
He capitalizes to make America
great again. I know. Like, that's the key point, is that he capitalized that part.
I'm going to come back to making America great again after we get done with this. I think that's going to be the last point that we run this whole thing home with. It is a contract between myself and the American voter and begins with restoring honesty, accountability, and change to Washington. Therefore, on my first day of my term of office, my administration will immediately pursue the following six measures to clean up the corruption and special interest collusion in Washington, D.C. First, propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. Thoughts?
You can't do that.
The answer that they came back and said was that, on one hand, you could, because there's term limits for presidents. Yeah. No. Well,
They added that amendment. Yeah,
it makes sense
because of Roosevelt.
Yeah, Roosevelt's about to run the country for 12 years.
Yeah, if he would have died, he probably could have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily. And look at him—he's the third best president of all time. Second best. I'm sorry, but I don't have a true problem with that. I don't necessarily see it as a flagrant thing. One hand though, that's what elections are for. You know, so. The only thing about me is I'm big on consistency. So why does it apply to congressmen and senators, but not to the president? You know, I'm kind of, you know.
See, like, why couldn't Barack do a third term?
I get why. I wouldn't have wanted more Bush, but I would take more Barack. You know, so yeah. it's kind of a two-handed sword, you know. The counterpoint has come in and said there are term limits. They're called elections. So you give it back to the people to make the decision on.
They want that person again. They want that person again.
It's easier to have that applied on a congressional level as opposed to a presidential level, because as you've seen for the second time in 16 years, the most popular person by the numbers isn't the person going to the White House. You know, so that's kind of difficult. I don't really have a feeling about that strongly one way or the other. You know, about congressional term limits. I don't know. I mean, whatever works. I think it's important to have checks and balances. So, I mean, I think that you need to, but if people want to keep running and people are doing well, let them try. But then at the same time, you should do the same thing for the presidency too. Second, a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce federal workforce through attrition, exempting military, public safety, and public health. So that right there says that you want to decrease jobs right away.
Quickly.
Mm-hmm. To save money. There's my biggest problem with fiscal conservative tactics.
Is it that you want to take away jobs just to be fiscal?
Yes. To save money, you want to take away opportunity.
Which
doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me.
Could you take away jobs?
That's not the way to save money. You save money by reforming the way that you spend it, not by taking away opportunity from people. It shouldn't apply to workforce in my mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Third, a requirement that for every new federal regulation, two existing regulations be eliminated.
Why do you have to do that?
Because they're pro less politics, smaller government.
Well, no, I get it, but I'm saying though, that's stupid though. That's like me saying, you know, if every time you grab a pair of shoes, you got to give up 2 pairs.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Why can't I have a nice rounded collection of shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that. And then how do you decide what has to go?
Yeah.
Like, what's
so the... I got to give it to Jordan or the...
So, we regulate something, but then we deregulate something. That's an easy way for him to say, "What I decide something, and I take away two things that I don't...
That I don't like.
With. Yeah. Fuck that. No, yeah. That don't work. That doesn't work for me. And does that go to the people to decide what goes away? Does that go to midterm ballots? Or do you just decide what goes away? That's a constriction of power. That's overstepping your boundaries too much as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah. I don't know. Fourth, a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service.
I ain't mad at that.
Yeah, I ain't got an issue with that.
I got an issue with that at all.
I mean, that doesn't bother me. It goes into the fifth one. A lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. Yeah, no problem with that either.
No problem with that.
He's part of making America great again. You're trying to control the way that things are influenced, in a way, it still is a way to restrict power and to consolidate things underneath one thumb. Because on one hand, if you've got White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service, that means that you could be taking people that are leaving Obama administration and blocking them from looking at interests that would help the other side of the ticket once they leave the White House. So I understand that lobbyists can abuse their power and do things the wrong way, but on one hand, it makes sure that you have an aggressive opposition in the party. So I don't have a huge problem with that because it's, once again, it's the two hands of the sword. You know, if you have people that are leaving Trump's White House going out into the world trying to make things happen against somebody else who might be trying to repeal them, hey, I'm for that. Yeah, I'm against that. I mean, but you know, I don't have any problem with somebody who doesn't have a job anymore after January 17th because Barack has left the White House, going out and trying to continue to further the causes that he put out there. So that's a tough thing. I'm not against. It's not a thing I'm about formalizing, though, saying it cannot happen, because I think it's a restriction of your rights as a to pursue whatever it is that you want to pursue in this country. you know, it's a way to not make it be such a free American democratic market.
But yeah, there's makes the word sense. Democratic. Makes sense.
Six, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. So you don't want outside interests influencing American elections. Who cares? Get money where you can.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Get your money wherever it comes from.
That's real funny. That's real funny coming from him.
Yeah, because I know funny. He got some paper
from him. Real funny coming from him, because he probably got one of them big Russian fur hats. He probably go home and throw on one of them big Russian fur hats.
His wife was Slovenian?
Yeah, she's something from over there. She looked like it. She got one of them situations jumping
out. Like, she's like a mail order bride.
Yes, she definitely looks like she stepped out of a plastic box like the NSYNC. So it's gonna be me video.
Bye bye bye.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to the next section of his contract with the American voter. Does this contract extend to us if we didn't vote for him?
Yeah, I'm somebody
else. I guess we have to take this contract on now. Huh. That's interesting. Forcing my hand again. on the same day, I will begin the following seven actions to protect American workers. First, I will announce my intention to renegotiate NAFTA or withdraw from the deal completely.
All right.
That's something that doesn't get talked about as much that I have a
huge
problem
with. He's trying to fuck up all the trade.
Once again, messing up trade, you fuck with trade, you raise the cost of production within the U.S. to get all these things done. You want to call it creating jobs. What you're going to do is you're going to raise the cost of having goods and services, and it's going to cause more money to
less
go into it.
Less exporting goods.
And it's going to cause a recession. That's what that does. It causes a recession.
Because you don't get that, though.
People are going to pull back because he can afford anything he wants. It's going to cause a recession to do that. So those people, those rural people that are out voting for this guy, that are going to be the ones that are going to be, hey, we're getting jobs out of this. But you're not going to be able to sell the things that you're making. So it doesn't matter. You're going to be out of the job as soon as you get it. It doesn't matter. That's like ridiculous.
Is that tariff tax in there, too, that he wants to do on export? On
yes, that's coming up here. Mm-hmm. That's coming up here shortly. You know, there's a reason why these trade agreements haven't lasted as long as they have. America is the country that it is. You're going to talk about making America great again. I would love to hear the time frame, first of all, of when America was great and when we're trying to make it come back to
that. What point are you going back to?
Because NAFTA ain't new. NAFTA been around for a long time. There's been a long time since that's been going on. America doesn't get better by closing the gates of it from other places. America essentially is built on the back of trade, both in the human side and in the business side. I mean, it's just you can't do it. You can't operate America with closed doors, locked doors and fences and all of that. Second, I announced our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That bothers me some too, because that's going to cause problems with China, number one.
And they got 30 billion people.
I don't understand what he's trying to accomplish. I mean, the overwhelming thing that is already, we're just getting into this right now. It is, China's not a part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I apologize. But you've got all these different countries that are part of this, and they're able to allow them to be able to trade between each other and reduce the provisions that have gone on to make trade a simpler thing between these countries. You know, these are a lot of places when you open up the tags and stuff you got, they didn't came from these countries.
They came from China.
And the reason why you can afford to have it is because it was outsourced labor. Now, do we need to be able to have more jobs in America? Yes. Do we need to create a recession in order to have them?
No.
That's ridiculous. There's checks and balances to everything. And America simply can't be the country that it is by handling everything on its own. It's just not the world financial market that we live in. It just can't happen that way. Third, I would direct my Secretary of Treasury to label China a currency manipulator.
Why?
Why blame other countries for things your first day in office? Like, why just...
That's like coming to your new job, don't blame your people.
Right. Hey, this is fucked up. Dog, you've been here 5 minutes. No, this is fucked up.
Yeah, man, y'all got y'all system all fucked up in here. Like, what you mean? Hold on, man. Hold on, dog. You just got up in here, man.
So, fourth, I would direct the Secretary of Commerce and the U.S. Trade Representative to identify all foreign trading abuses that unfairly impact American workers and direct them to use every tool under American and international law to end those abuses immediately. What are you saying right there?
Oh, fuck. Nothing. You're saying nothing there. I think he just made up some shit. Or he, I don't even know if he even wrote this.
Oh, I'm sure he co-signed all of this. He probably sat there and did it while he was watching TV, just yelling stuff back in the other
room. What do we do about Trey? Oh no, he probably said some other crazier shit though, and they actually dumbed it down for this shit.
Yeah, yeah. He will lift restrictions on the production of $50 trillion worth of job-producing American energy reserves, including shale, oil, and gas, and clean coal. Meaning that...
That's why all those coal miners and shit like that, West Virginia, think it's shit when we come back popping.
Yes.
And we need to fucking get away from that kind of energy, though.
But here's the thing.
You know what energy is, where the fucking world is going.
Well, but here's the thing. Exactly.
Why the fuck are you going to invest in something else that we should be getting the fuck away from and try to invest in renewables?
Because he's making America great again. Back when all those things produced energy for us, back in the fucking
50s. But it doesn't work no fucking more.
Back in the 1950s. Yeah, because that makes sense. I mean, I get it. That doesn't make any sense to do that. I mean, we're trying to move in towards, why aren't you investing in solar energy? Why aren't you investing in the wind farms? I mean, why aren't you doing things where we can do less maintenance in order to have these forms of energy? Because you want to create jobs. Well, you want to create jobs while taking jobs away. And yet, I mean, what direction are you going in here? Where's the consistency in what you're trying to say? So, 6, I will lift the Obama-Clinton roadblocks that allow vital energy infrastructure projects like the Keystone Pipeline to move forward. The Keystone Pipeline has to do with Canada, who you want to get out of trade with. 7, I'll cancel billions in payments to the UN climate change programs and use the money to fix America's water and environmental infrastructure.
I saw this movie already. It's called Mad Max Fury Road. That's what this is. This is Mad Max Fury Road. He wants to be the dude. I forgot the dude.
I don't know, man. People can go and read this thing and read the whole thing and all the stuff that goes into it. That's just a sample of what he intends to start on the day that he gets in office. Like, as soon as the inauguration...
How much pushback is he going to get from Republicans, though, with this shit?
You know, the funny thing about it is when I think about Republican pushback, I think there are going to be disagreements that never make it to actually be presented to him. Because I don't think that they're going to go against him just due to the fear of the fact that they could lose their own footing in their own.
This motherfucker getting a press conference and starts calling. They're going to fuck them up.
It's going to be stronghold.
It was John Wilson.
Yeah, it's going to be stronghold. It's going to be strong arm politics from the executive branch against the legislative branch the entire time through.
So you think it's going? Wow, I never even thought of it like that. Where he's going to charge strong arm situation.
Oh, he's going to strong arm any and all opposition that comes against him. I mean, this is a dude that wants to go back and be the president of the United States and be suing journalists for talking bad about him while he was campaigning. Come on, dog. Like, the level of petty is about to go to a whole new...
Oh, man. But on the other side, though, petty is, like, think about, like, a Giuliani, a Christie, and all those people that supported him. Like, you hit the bank, fucking bankroll, man. You fucking just put random pennies in slots and pull the lever and you hit a bank jackpot. Giuliani finna fucking get his way to be the fucking attorney general.
Oh, Newt Gingrich is gonna be the secretary of state.
Word. They getting the whole band back together, basically, right?
No, everybody's coming back. Everybody's coming back. They're bringing back
the whole band getting back together.
Everybody's coming back. Dick Cheney might even get a piece of this action.
Dick might not want no parts of this, though. He'd be like, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Let's talk about the two things that we talked about that he backed off of already, though, mm-hmm. before we bring this
part of Affordable Care Act.
We got three things to talk about. We need to talk about the Affordable Care Act. We need to talk about the wall between Mexico and America. And then we need to talk about making America great again. So, all right. All right. Where do we want to start? Which one is more? The Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
You talk about repealing and ending the Affordable Care Act right away. 24 million people in your country would be without health insurance, therefore unable to take care of themselves. I mean,
I think.
Do we say anything else to that?
No.
He's going to go into a healthcare spending savings account.
Savings, and what if I don't have no money?
What am I saving? I'm poor. What are you doing? Like, does the Affordable Care Act have some hitches in it that need to be smoothed out? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is far from perfect. But it's something that is in the infancy stages of it working out. I mean, it's just, it's something that needs to be done. People need to have insurance, period. People need to have health care, period. People in Britain In Canada, don't worry about that type of stuff because they know if something happened to them, they're going and taken care of. It's taken care of. Don't repeal something that is so necessary for people to... Now, if you want to continue to modify it, if you want to look for ways to better it, God bless you, because it needs work. It isn't perfect. Now, it on some levels, it's an idealistic policy that's been enacted, and it's been enacted maybe a bit quicker than it is ready to go to market, but it's needed, and it's helping people actively right now. People are still pulling out of it. Healthcare providers are not playing ball with it. Fix that. Fix how people stay engaged and that their interests are being served. But just saying you're going to repeal it just because it's named after Barack Obama, which is the way that I take it, basically, is fucking stupid.
And then Obama didn't name it after himself. His fucking Republicans flipped that and made it called Obamacare.
Right.
That's why I don't ever call Obamacare. I call it Affordable Health Care Act because it's fucking, that's what he called it.
Yeah.
It's not like Trump or the John O'Donnell J. Trump.
The contract with the American
people. It's not like Obama ever did no shit like the Barack Hussein Obama contract.
The only contract with the American people that I need is the fucking Constitution.
There you go. And you didn't have shit to do with that.
No, sorry, dude. You weren't around for that. The Constitution has been what we're working on here. And I think the Constitution is a fairly solid document.
Yeah.
All things considered, the revisions that have gone into it.
Yeah, we had a couple
the,
revisions.
The revisions, the revisions.
We had to do a couple of things with the
revisions
aspect,
that have, the know. Revisions that have gone into it have made it better.
Yeah.
But that's all the making of America great again I ever needed right there. So so let's talk about the wall. It was a great album by Pink Floyd. But that's what that is.
Dude, like. The people were really, like, and then he was trying to get Mexico to pay for it.
Huh?
He was trying to get Mexico to pay for the wall.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of fucking sense did that fucking make?
First of all, somebody come into my house right now and say, here's my electric bill, you paying it. I'm gonna be like, am I?
Yeah.
Like, am I?
Make me.
I don't have any kids. And I damn sure know I don't have none of the ones that could pop up be old enough to be you or have no bills yet. So how you gonna make me pay for anything for you? We're gonna make them pay for it. Because this is on them that they people is leaving their shitty country to come into ours.
Makes no sense.
Bruh.
You know how long that wall's gotta fucking be?
They're talking about building the Great Fucking Wall of China.
I know.
In South Texas.
Not just South Texas, they're trying to go through California too.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Arizona, New Mexico, he wants it to be across the whole thing. I think it was like 1,800 miles.
Do you know how much, has anybody done the financial estimates on that?
Dude, I don't. And they said they wanted 10 feet.
10 feet?
10 to 15 feet tall.
Jesus Christ.
And he wanted Mexico to pay for it. And I was like, who's going to actually build this wall? The illegal immigrants is already here? Because I'm assuming that's who's going to be building this wall.
Yeah, that all that labor that you don't want to have, get worked out. I mean, it's about controlling immigration. I get that. That's fine.
But the thing is, Obama deported the most people in the history of the U.S.
Right.
Like, the fuck?
But he's a Muslim, though, so.
Well, so he's deported the most people, though.
But he's a Muslim, though. So
that doesn't count.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's the thing that's the worst about this is that even that wall. I don't put a wall up to keep me in nowhere. You can't send me anywhere. I was born on King's Highway. You can't send me anywhere.
What did CeeLo say on cell therapy? He's like, did they build that wall to keep us out or keep us in?
Right. Exactly. Where's that wall at?
Gate. He said that gate.
Where's that wall at when they were sending boats over to go and grab people and bring them over here because they wanted cheap labor? But now we don't want cheap labor. Now. We don't want cheap labor. We want y'all to leave too. Well, shit, I'm an American at this point. Oh. My people been here for five generations.
And built a lot of this motherfucker.
We in. We're good.
We ain't going nowhere.
We're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. So they put this wall up. You got stuck in here with us. And I'm going to keep moving into your neighborhoods. And I might...
You can't keep moving out. I'm going to make you move to Montana.
And I might continue to address your daughters. You can't... So get ready. Guess who's coming to dinner? So, yeah. The wall is ridiculous. And even Newt Gingrich has said already that was a campaign device. There's no way that you're going to do that. Now they want to spin this thing that's been absolutely advertised
part of this whole thing.
As a feasible, absolute thing that will happen it's gonna be some chicken wire fence down there. That little orange safety rope that they put when a manhole opened in the street.
No, it's gonna have the club stanchions.
Right.
Where the club stanchions out there, like, just don't go past. That's the wall.
They're gonna put up some things they put in the middle of the highway up.
Think about even if you put stanchions up, that's probably $30 or $40 million worth of stanchions.
Right.
If you did 2,000 miles of stanchions. And it's stanchions.
You have like not club, a wall. They gonna have like club bouncers standing along the border, or
maybe that's where you think the job's coming from. To have more people on the border patrol.
It is ridiculous. It is an asinine idea, and it is crazy.
It's this article I want everybody to listen to, maybe you can get a chance to, man. If you Google it, I forgot, but the name of it. But basically this reporter went undercover with militia groups down in the border patrol. Like, and went undercover with them for like a month. And he set himself up, put his real name and everything on a Facebook page, and basically start liking like other like nationalist pages, like militia pages. And then he start adding friends of like other, like so for instance, if I added you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would add your friend, and then you would see that we're friends, and then you assume that I'm down too. So he ended up making a list of 1,000 people that were all militia people. So they assumed that he was down. Nobody knew where he came from. They just asked him to come down and do border patrol randomly. He did it all through Facebook.
Jesus Christ.
And he basically wrote a whole thing about how, like, you know, like some of the guys are super racist. Some of them aren't. Some of them wanted to be diverse. Some of them just don't know what the fuck else to do with their life. They just don't have nothing else to do but just go down there. Like,
so here's my question, though. And my question the entire time through has been, why aren't we doing this with Canada, too?
I always wondered that. Because we import a lot of the athletes. Hockey. The whole sport.
Why aren't we doing this with Canada? Why aren't we putting up a wall?
Sports.
But he doesn't want business with Canada. He wants the North American Free Trade Alliance.
Which is going to be interesting. What about all these athletic sports teams that are in Canada? What will happen with that if he does do that shit?
Are you going to throw Americans can't play for the Blue Jays no more?
Don't look like no.
NHL
clubs. You fucked up. I guess you go across that board to play for the Blue Jays. It's all home games for you.
The Winnipeg Jets, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Vancouver Canucks. It's ridiculous. It's the most racist bullshit policy of all time. I don't want those Mexicans coming in.
But all the fine white people up north, though.
Because them people up north look like us, so they can come down here. That's fucking bullshit. And that's the thing that's really pissed me off about the entire thing. Outside of the obvious financial windfall of building a wall to block one country out from the other one. It's like, you're going to start building walls to keep people out of Illinois and Missouri? Like, you know, you can't go to Texas and Oklahoma. You need a wall. I worry about presidents that get set by things like that, because I think that that's the type of thing that happens. The last time that we tried to make all of these hardcore divides, geographic divides, what happened?
The Civil War.
The Civil fucking War. Mm-hmm. So basically, from day one of being in office, he wants to be James Buchanan, who is the 43rd best president of all time.
Oh, the only reason he's not lower is because homeboy Harrison died.
Right. And he should get a mulligan. He should be 42. He should be like 42.
He shouldn't even be under. It should be like a dash. Like a little dash at the bottom of his like this at the bottom. He died after doing this speech, man. It got a cold. It got pneumonia.
Oh, fragile ass.
But his speech was 7 hours, they said.
Yeah, no. Like, you deserve it.
Think about this, y'all. 7 hours.
I'm kind of upset that we didn't get more of him, though. Imagine what else he could have done with that type of bullshit.
And then Logan died 3 months later from a pneumonia. His running mate, though, was probably like, gotcha. He probably was hyping him up like, 7 hours? That ain't bad.
Yeah.
Because I think it was Garfield was his running mate. So Garfield might have went back home and stuff. They're like, man, I'm just going to go check out home and everything. You cool for 7 hours? I'll cut the first two. It's cold as hell. Like, I caught the first two.
All right, let's talk about real quick before we get out of
here. Make
America great again.
When?
All right, first of all,
I want to know what year.
Let's decide when America has been at its absolute greatest. When has America been at its best?
Arguably the 90s. I guess that would be, at least for black folks. We had the most open mobility.
I would argue that America has been best for black people in the last 4 years.
You think so?
People have had jobs. There's been less incarceration rate. has been less active pursuit of incarceration, because in the 90s, Clinton was going to get everybody.
Yeah.
Every time, the further and further we get away from our past, we get better, we get closer to a brighter future. As a people. There's no black person with any half sense of cultural awareness outside of maybe Lil Wayne that would think that at any point in time going backwards would be better for us until maybe last Tuesday.
What year would you, if you had to go backwards none of these 4 years, what line would a black person want to go back?
Because
I know, not George Carlin, what's my man? Louis C.K. has his whole things like, there's not a time machine that black people have no area that they would go back
if
to.
If it ain't going forward?
Yeah, it's only forward. In the
there ain't nothing, there's nothing I want to go backwards for. Nothing at all. You know, in the last 4 years, it's going to be tough because I'm going to probably be a bit biased myself because it's been...
I said outside those 4 years. Like, if you take that, throw that out.
Man, maybe the early 80s? You've got past the Civil Rights Act at that point. You've got more people that are starting to graduate from college and starting to build up some of the generational wealth.
And a little bit of affirmative action was really kind of popping.
I think the black middle class was growing at that point. Now, but then at the same time,
it's like you have all these good things.
There's no time being black in America where you can say, "Hey, we've got this great thing going on." You gonna act like that wasn't happening? Well, first of all, it can't be any time before 1970. First of all,
right. I'm talking about people say the same thing, like heroin, like
AIDS and crack came in the 80s. Yeah, so I really hesitate to say that was a good time. But we had Thriller though.
We had Thriller
in the early
1999
80s.
Too from Prince.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the early 80s. I'm gonna say the early 80s.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy too.
We did early to mid 80s. Well, I'm gonna say it was the best time for black people before recent times. And now they've gone to all stops to pull out and say, we're going to stop all of that right now.
What is the best time period for white people? All of them? I'm talking about like the supreme bestness. The best that they ever can be.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah, like, I'm talking about like the best time to be white.
The best time to be white? What time is it? 4:30?
Yeah. 4:30. I would venture to say the 50s. Late 40s, early 50s. Because after World War II.
I'd say the 1910s.
Before World War One?
Yeah, before World War One, after the Civil War.
So basically Teddy Roosevelt.
1900 to 1920s, I'd say, yeah, probably. Before the Depression. People were making money before the Depression. They was making money before the Depression.
You could just kill a black person and not give a fuck.
You had Henry Ford, and you had Rockefeller and Carnegie and all them cats. I was like
Granville, Edison.
The 1910s, you had no opposition from any other minority in your way of being.
But you also were an isolationist country though at that time period too.
That's cool for them. The infrastructure. That's what I think. That's when. We're gonna put a time period on when America's trying to go back to. It's gonna be 1910. Let's just say he's trying to take America back to 1910.
And keep in mind, nobody's fucking lived that now. They lived in 1910 and knows that great then.
Yeah, no. No.
But then what do you think that white people now think that America great? Like a white person now is like, when? What period do they want to go back to? Like within their time where they thought it was great again, to make it great again.
Well, we got to ask somebody that believes in that message.
That's a good question. Any Trump supporter, I'm surprised. There's not a Trump supporter listening to this podcast. I'm assuming that.
Never know.
I don't know. That's
just I could find out, but I don't really want the argument to go.
Yeah, I don't want. But I want to know when you wanted to go to great again. Especially for the black people that voted for Trump. When do you want it to be great again? I want to know as well for you.
They're going to say, I'm going to tell you what the lazy answer to that is. 94. Is they're going to say they want to make America great again as a theory, not as an actual thing. So we want to make America ethics, so make American things
not going
great
back in time.
The future. And that's bullshit, because by device, you can't. America again means you want to bring something back. But like I said earlier this week on Facebook, and I believe it to the core of my being, you cannot make something great again by bastardizing what it's always been. You cannot do that. You cannot take away what makes America great, which is free, which is free market, which is opportunity for all people, the ability for people to seek a better opportunity by coming into the country, albeit I've agreed that that should be done through the proper measures. But you cannot close the borders from the world isolate America within America and shut out the rest of the world and make America be great again, because that is not what America is. That's what fucking China is.
Yeah, that's what Russia is.
And that is a fucking republic dictatorship.
For all intents and purposes. So he thinks he's going to be a de facto dictator?
I don't think we can even know what he's going to be.
You're saying he's going to be strong-arming people. That's what I'm saying. You're basically saying he's a de facto dictator.
He can't be a dictator, because there's too many. There's still, even with control of the House and control
they still, and the Democrats still have filibuster.
On top of all of that.
Democrats got to go hard. They got to have a meeting and be like, everything they do, we say no. Like, I don't give a fuck what they have to do. Like, we all got to be on the same page. Because they cannot have five people go over to their side, though, or they can get filibuster rules going into place.
Right.
So that means that they can't filibuster and fuck up shit.
Right.
If they get five, so like, look here, man. We all we got.
Yeah. I mean, I say this. You can't have a dictator in the White House, because the people won't take it. The people of America will not take it.
But your first point was saying that the strong arming where people will backlash from.
No, the strong arming of the people that are elected officials and the strong.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, would that be a de facto dictator then at that point?
In a way, he could. It would be dictator like tactics, but when it comes down to enacting the things that you want to see happen, he couldn't, because that is not because the American people at that point will stand up and say, Fuck you. Fuck what's in place. Fuck the structures and the people that we're putting in place. We're not taking this at this point. And then you have a civil uprising. And we've been there before.
Yeah. Is this a reverse civil war that's been like? Because California is talking about, like, I saw an article saying that California was looking into seceding.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. This is like Texas always talks that bullshit all the time. Of succeeding from the U.S. I guarantee they want no more. They like, oh shit, we bullshitting though last year when we was looking at that.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't succeed from the. You can do it in a.
But I mean, could can Texas and California? They could though.
You could mobilize. Well, Texas ain't. They just got what they wanted.
I know, but I'm saying they could, because they technically have damn near all the resources they would want in their state.
California damn near ain't got no water.
Yeah, not California can't do that. But I'm saying Texas may, because they could just barter and sell their energy.
In theory, if any state united enough and went underneath a into a strong enough decisive way to self-maintain, sure they could. Problem with doing so is that the government would then cut off import into that state. And there's no state that produces enough things internally in order to operate on it.
But the thing is, Texas has borders to be able to still get stuff in, though.
Well, they could have to. They'd have to have an alliance with Mexico to do that. They'd essentially would have to reenact the old boundaries of the U.S. They'd have to recolonize with Mexico in order to pull that off. They would have to get things to come up from the south as opposed from within the country. Nobody really wants to leave or succeed from the United States. In theory, it's a great idea, but when the National Guard surrounds your state and doesn't let people leave,
and they put up a border in, like North Korea type shit on your ass,
exactly. You don't want that. Imagine if Kansas fucking succeeded and you just couldn't go past Kansas City. You know, you had to stay in Kansas. It's ridiculous. You couldn't drive over to
Bridge. Like East and West Berlin type shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. Nobody wants a Berlin Wall in the United States.
Within the United States, yeah. Or East and West Germany or some shit like that.
Yeah, that's bad.
They'd have all the athletes, though.
That's true. It'd be good football in Texas.
Yeah, the national championship would be a bitch down there, boy. That motherfucker would be popping.
We got enough teams to play a tournament every
day. Yeah, yeah. Well, we are here to wrap it up. Everybody email us. Let us know your thoughts. Make sure you check in for your slavery tutorial, at the Trump campaign. StraightOLC@gmail.com. Matt, where can people hit you up at?
I'm checking on Facebook. On Twitter, at Cheap Seat Fan. I got my blue check.
I saw that. You
can find me now.
Yeah.
I'm fake important. It's the most important.
What if somebody had to vouch for you to get your check?
Yeah, I think it's just the people that I work for and stuff. They have to back check my work and see where it's coming from and stuff. So. Yeah, I'm fake important. It's the most significant thing that hasn't made me a single dollar since it happened.
It's never happened in my life. It's a fake thing, but we'll see y'all next week. Peace.